Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. This half hour is presented by the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Expert panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. My name is Ruthie C. I am very excited this morning to welcome Marie Mott and Leisha Smith of the Department of Health in Escambia County. Good morning, ladies, and thank you so much for joining this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are here this morning for the first time together in the studio, and I appreciate you coming in and offering your expertise to our community about just the latest and greatest of what is happening with the Department of Health in Escambia County. So how are you? How are things?
Things are going well. We're excited to be here. It's good to be in the studio. It's a little bit easier to kind of have the conversations when, you know, we can see each other, so.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate it. I know we have up our plexiglass. We are still being safe, wearing the mask, socially distancing. So I appreciate that if y'all are willing and able to come in, then that makes me feel good about it.
I have to say, I think Dr. Lanza, my predecessor, or the former director at the health department here, he'd be pretty impressed with the plexiglass that we got going on in here. So.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. It makes me feel safe.
So anyway, just to kind of jump in, we have a lot of things going on when we talk about the plexiglass and things that we put in place to prevent the transmission of COVID. But we're moving into what we worry about every fall, and that's flu season. So I definitely want to take a moment to remind everybody to put measures into place to prevent the flu. And then the first thing that everybody can do, or that anybody 6 months of age and older can do, is get a flu shot. So look around, call your primary care practitioner, visit your pharmacy. We even have some flu shots at the health department and plan to get your flu shot if you haven't already done that. So one of the easy things to do is you can go to vaccinefinder.org, and you can put in a zip code. You can put in what vaccines you're looking for. If you're looking for something besides flu, you know, maybe you need a tetanus shot, or you want a hepatitis vaccination, you can put those into the vaccinefinder.org and your zip code, and it'll give you a list of where you can get those vaccines. So easier than ever to get vaccinated. But flu is what we're kind of really recommending this time of year, especially moving into the fall. We start to see the flu activity peak in the late fall and over the winter around here. So getting vaccinated, and that goes even for pregnant women. One of the things I remember learning way back when I was pregnant was that when I get vaccinated as a pregnant mom, and it's safe for me to do that, and it reduces my risk, which is already elevated as a pregnant woman, it also gives some immunity to my baby. So my baby can't get a vaccine, or somebody's baby can't get a vaccine until they're 6 months old. So you have that gap where the baby is unprotected. So getting a flu vaccine during pregnancy, especially closer to the end, if you're at that point in your pregnancy, helps not only protect you, but also protects your baby after they're born.
Is there any point that it is the right time throughout a pregnancy, or is that safe at any point in a pregnancy?
And that's really something that I would recommend a mom to talk to her obstetrician, her OBGYN, about, because every pregnancy is different. Every mom's a little bit different. But the OBGYNs are that's one of the things that they do, is evaluate those needs and make those recommendations. And like I said, that's kind of how I learned about that back then. So get a flu shot, especially, or everybody 6 months of age and older that can get a flu shot, go get one, even if you're pregnant. And then other things just to put into place, that frequent hand washing message that we've heard all year long is just as important as ever, avoiding unnecessary contact with other people. You know, don't shake hands when you don't have to, don't hug someone you don't need to. That's kind of hard to do, I know, but especially if you're feeling a little bit under the weather, you want to avoid those kind of things yourself to pass whatever you've got. You don't want to pass that on. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue when you cough or sneeze, or cough or sneeze into your sleeve or elbow. Stay home when you're sick. Please, please, please stay home when you're sick. I know it's hard. I know sometimes you feel like you need to go to work, or you don't want to miss work, and that is really hard. Passing things around the workplace is one of the things we really want to try to avoid as much as possible. So stay home when you're sick. And adding to those messages this year is really seek medical care if you're feeling sick. Because when you go visit your doctor or an urgent care physician, you can talk to them about what you're feeling, and they can decide what kind of testing you might need. They might give you a flu test. They might give you a COVID test. They might give you both. Sometimes there's strep going around, so they might want to give you a strep test. But to find the right diagnosis is important to getting the right care as quickly as possible. So get your flu shot, keep your hands washed, and see a doctor if you're feeling under the weather, and stay home. So that's kind of all I have on flu. Another thing that you've heard Dr. Lanza talk about lately, and I just want to kind of remind everybody, is hepatitis A is one of those things that's been going around the last couple of years, and we really want to make sure that we can minimize the spread of that as much as possible. So if you've not been vaccinated against hepatitis A, that's another thing too you can look for on vaccinefinder.org, talk to your physician about, or you can come into the health department and get one of those. Most of our vaccines you need an appointment for, and you can call our appointment line to schedule. And I'll give you that number in just a minute. But hepatitis A is a walk-in. You walk in, you check in at our check-in window and say, I need a hepatitis A vaccine, and they will get you vaccinated pretty speedily. So we have a walk-in program for that. But for other vaccines or other appointments, you can call our appointment line. That's 595-6554. You can also visit our website, escambiahealth.com, for all that kind of information. We're going to start talking about breast and cervical cancer protection. So I brought Leisha Smith here today. She is the supervisor for that program at the health department. And I'm going to let her just tell us a little bit about the program. It's a really interesting program. And we'll talk a little bit about why it's important for people to be screened also. So, Leisha?
Okay. So October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we're encouraging all women age 50 to 64 to get out and have their annual mammogram screening. At the FBCCEDP, the Florida Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program, the program is a screening program for eligible women that are uninsured to get a free or low-cost mammogram. To be eligible, you must be a woman age 50 to 64, uninsured, Florida resident. You can be Scambia, Santa Rosa, or Okaloosa County, because we are a regional site. Not covered by Medicaid or Medicare. Medicaid and Medicare generally covers for mammogram screening, so you can go to your doctor and get an order and have a screening without us with that. But if you're uninsured, call us. And then there's an income guideline, 200% below the federal poverty level.
So for a household of two or three people, kind of give us an idea of what that is.
Okay. For a household of two, you have to earn less than $34,479. For a household of three, $43,439.
So, I mean, there's a lot of people that could qualify for that may not realize, because they're working or, you know, they've got kids in the house still.
Absolutely.
That all impacts your qualification.
Absolutely. And it's so important to get that screening. Early detection has proven to save lives. One in eight women in the U.S., or about 12% of women, will have a chance of getting breast cancer in their lifetime. So early detection, whenever it's treatable, is when we want to find it. And mammogram is the best way to do that.
I think that is really great information for people to know. So, and just one more time, Leisha, you were saying if you're between 50 and 64 years of age, that's right?
Okay. Yes. That's what would qualify. If that's just in general, if you are under 50 and you have symptoms, first degree relative, you can still qualify.
So some younger women, you know, if they had a mom who had breast cancer or
yes.
sister or daughter, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely. They could still qualify. They would still need to meet the other eligibility guidelines, but that would be a qualifying that would lower the age.
And then symptoms examples would be?
Breast pain, breast lump, discharge.
And so I guess doing those monthly breast self-exams would be important to possibly qualifying for this screening program. So
yes.
if you're underinsured and you find something on your regular exam, you can, would you visit a doctor? And
if you can, if you have a primary care doctor. If you don't have a primary care doctor, if you give us a call, we can get you scheduled with one of our physicians, get in, have the lump checked or whatever your symptom might be, and then get a referral for you to have a mammogram completed.
Okay, so I guess the bottom line there is, you know, don't be afraid to do the self-screening or to go see somebody if you feel like you've got a problem. There's a way to get a screening for that.
Yes.
And then there's a connection to care piece yes. with that as well.
Yes, we also have a connection to care. If you do receive a breast cancer diagnosis, we help you complete Medicaid application to make sure that your treatment is covered.
Okay.
That is a huge resource. So if there, you know, was something that you found, something that screening did detect, like you said, those statistics are just always staggering to me, especially, you know, here in our community, there are resources available. So take advantage, make sure that, you know, what if you have a regular doctor and you are insured, and then absolutely work with them, go for it. But if, you know, those qualifications sound like you or someone that you know, please share that information with them. What is the best way, Alicia, for if someone wanted to get in touch to take advantage of this service?
Okay, just call us at 850-595-6500, extension 1202. And we can go through a small eligibility process over the phone before you even come in. So it's just a phone call. You know, if you are not insured, don't let that keep you from trying to get a mammogram. Call us, get information, and we can help you.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruth E.C. speaking with Marie Mott and Leisha Smith from the Department of Health in Escambia County, encouraging you to please go get your flu shot. Make sure that you're protecting yourself and your family and everyone around you. If you're sick, stay home and seek care. And then if you qualify and or you think you might qualify, then just give a call. It's a simple phone call. You don't have to come in perfectly socially distant. You're not even in the room, not even in the building,
right?
For the breast and cervical cancer early detection programs. And what, Leisha, will you say that number one more time?
Yes, it's 850-595-6500, extension 1202.
Very good. And if there were any words of wisdom that you would offer now to someone who might be considering, or if you're listening and this sounds like someone else you know, that you would just encourage people to do it, is there anything that you would like just really love for people to know right now?
Yes, that annual mammograms do save lives.
And that's it. We do have a question coming in, going back to something you spoke about before, Marie, about the hepatitis A that unfortunately has seen a resurgence in our community. So the question from this individual, if you have had hepatitis A, do you still need the vaccine?
As I say, I think generally not, but if you've actually had the active disease, if you're exposed or you're, you know, kind of concerned about it because you know somebody that's had it, then you would definitely be a candidate for the vaccine. So again, getting either coming into the health department or getting with your physician or going to an urgent care. Always, you know, I think my first instinct would to that question is to say, just check with your doctor mm-hmm. and just make sure. But there's, you know, there's a lot of different ways. I didn't really go into the details of hepatitis A, but, you know, there are some kind of pockets of the community where you see a lot of transmission. And and not everybody is in those pockets. Like there's IV drug users, or, you know, we see it in the homeless community, but it is readily transmitted in a kind of a hand-to-mouth situation. So anybody can get it. You don't have to be in one of those high-risk groups to get it. So, you know, if you have picked up something in the store that somebody else has touched that's put the virus on that thing, and then you go, you know, pick up your apple or whatever you're snacking on and you put it in your mouth without washing your hands first, then you may have, you know, kind of transmitted an infection that way. So, you know, hand washing is important as well. That goes back to that message that goes with just about everything, but get vaccinated. That's a good way to get protected against hepatitis A.
That's great. And so a good question for your doctor. Of course, everyone should be, you know, talk with your medical professional, just like you mentioned, Marie, about pregnant ladies getting the flu shot. If, like, when is the right time to do that? So same thing, you know, go just seek the medical help from the professionals. Let them tell you the right thing to do for yourself. And going back to what you said, Leisha, about screening saving lives, I know I have breast cancer in my family. My grandmother's a survivor. One of my aunts, unfortunately, did pass away. It's something that we have talked about since I was little, and just want to say thank you so much for this amazing service that you're providing to the community. And just, you know, it's October. We see all this beautiful pink all around. That is for a reason. So please let that be your reminder next time you see those pink ribbons, or, you know, the pink that even the athletes get, the pink on their cleats. That's a good reminder to you to get that screening.
Yes, it sure is.
And, you know, the younger women that do qualify for the program, we have a kind of an extra program that they're eligible for as well. And that's a wellness and prevention program called WISE Women. And that stands for Well Integrated Screening and Evaluation for Women Across the Nation. It's a CDC-sponsored program. In Florida, we like to call it Healthy Woman just because it's a little easier to a little easier to kind of grasp. But like I said, it's a CDC-sponsored program, and it operates in Escambia County, and it's aimed at helping women understand and reduce their risk for cardiovascular disease and stroke. So it's you know, kind of reaching out to this younger group of women that qualify for this screening and give them some education and some tools to help prevent some of these preventable chronic diseases. And we've actually been able to, I'll have to actually bring the WISE Woman program coordinator on next time, because she's got a lot of really good information as well. But during this year, we've been able to transition some of the program education piece into a virtual education, so that people could continue to get the education while we're not able to get together, because it was a class-based program for a while. So
that's wonderful. So that's gone, some of it has gone online and is still out there. Are there qualifications for participating in those educational pieces?
Yeah, so it's the women 40, actually it's all 40 to 64. So the women who would qualify kind of age and income-wise for the breast and cervical cancer program are the same ones that would qualify for WISE Women. So underinsured or uninsured, so, and then less than 200% of the current federal poverty income guidelines. So again, a household of three would be at 40, I think, what did you say, 43?
43,439.
Yeah, $43,000, so.
And all of the ladies that come through the breast and cervical cancer program are offered an opportunity to go through the Florida Healthy Woman as well.
Yeah.
That is so wonderful. So just giving that education, like you said, these diseases are preventable. So, but you have to know. You have to know what steps to take and how to mitigate your own risk factors. And that just, you know, sometimes you just got to engage. You got to show up and just ask. You might not even know exactly what question to ask, but always better just to get in touch, take the opportunity. Just really want to strongly encourage anyone listening who would qualify for that or know someone who does, that these resources are available through the Department of Health, and the team there is eager to help and eager to keep you well and healthy. And what else is happening with the health department these days?
Well, you know, we have our main service center at Fairfield Drive, and a lot of our clinic-based services and our community programs like breast and cervical cancer early early detection and prevention, and Florida Healthy Woman are run out of that as well. You can come in there and get birth and death certificates also. A lot of people aren't always aware of that. So that's kind of our general base of operations. And we right now, you know, we're still doing all of our appointments and things based on scheduling appointments. Our appointment line is 595-6554. And we do ask that if you are coming in for a service, don't bring extra people. We are, you know, very much practicing limiting people in the building, limiting other people contact with each other. So, you know, just don't bring your family if they're not here for there for an appointment. Try not to bring your kids if you, you know, if you can find grandma or somebody to watch them, unless they're the ones getting the appointment. You know, a parent can come in with a child that's receiving a service. You know, again, we ask people to wear masks in the building as well, general prevention technique practices. So, so that's, you know, kind of our general way we go health department day-to-day operations. We haven't been doing a lot of 5-2-0 messaging in the community, but I do want to take a moment to remind everybody, you know, our general messages that we usually wrap up the show with, and that's eat more fruits and vegetables. We recommend 5 servings a day. Limit screen time to 2 hours or less a day. Get at least 1 hour of physical activity, and 0 sugary drinks. And this time of year, one of the things I always like to talk about is be careful of the fancy coffee drinks that are very popular as the weather cools down, because there's a lot of hidden sugar in those. So
I love that. You guys have a billboard right there at on Cervantes that's got the don't be fooled by sugary drinks in disguise. And I love that. That's such a great reminder. And sorry out there to all my pumpkin spice fans, especially for little growing bodies. Like, you just don't need all that sugar. Maybe there's a better, healthier snack. Like you mentioned before, apples. I'm like, ooh, fall. This is a great time to pick some apples. Make sure you have a nice, healthy snack. So thank you for that messaging, because I see it. That helps me remember.
So, you know, in the summertime, it's, you know, sugary cold drinks, and in the wintertime, sugary hot drinks. So just to be careful of those. A lot of our information is on our website, escambiahealth.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at Healthy Escambia, and we are also now on Nextdoor, so you can find information from us. It pushed out through that application as well.
Oh, I love that. That's great. And is that just still kind of the same general information? Does that drill down into like neighborhoods and stuff, or that's just here's what everybody needs to know?
It's really, really kind of general information, but it's just a different way to get it to people that need it. So we're happy to have it.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for joining this morning. And again, would you mind giving the number one more time, Leisha, for the screenings?
Okay, it's 850-595-6500, extension 1202. And for the Florida Healthy Woman, their extension is 1122. So it's the same phone number, 850-595-6500. Theirs is 1122.
Very good. And if people were interested in checking out the website, it is
escambiahealth.com.